Fayette is fortunate to have a local FM radio station, KPIP, which is the flagship program of a nonprofit organization, International Educational Resources for Rural Missouri, or IERRM, whose mission is to cultivate and nurture community educational radio in and around Fayette. In addition to offering content developed elsewhere, KPIP is proud to feature local programming and look to area residents to offer their perspectives on topics of interest to them and their friends and neighbors. The following programming does just this, as it engages local citizenry, who are the experts on the area's history because they have lived it. This series is called Howard County Remembers and builds on work done when the county celebrated its 200th birthday in 2016. That year, a fine publication entitled Howard County, Missouri, From Prairie Land to Promised Land, A Remembrance Across Two Centuries, was released. This radio series embellishes on the extensive information contained in that book, which may be found at the Howard County Public Library. To back up, though, the genesis of these programs was inspired by this year's celebration of the state's bicentennial. While Howard County was organized by an act of the General Assembly of the Territory of Missouri in 1816, it was followed 5 years later in 1821 when Missouri was recognized as a state by the United States Congress, making 2021 Missouri's bicentennial year. We decided to tie together these two historically close occasions by focusing on aspects of Howard County's history and keep these in KPIP archives, as well as offer audios of the broadcast to the State of Missouri Historical Society to keep in its archives.
School days, dear old golden rule days, reading and writing and arithmetic, taught to the tune of a hickory stick. You were my queen in calico, I was your bashful barefoot beau, and you rode on my sleigh. I love you, Joe, when we were a couple of kids.
Today, you will hear from a true Howard Countian. She'll tell you a little about how and why her family migrated from Kansas to settle in rural Howard County when she was 6 years old. Kathy Monckton has lived here ever since then, growing up, marrying, raising four sons who all went to school in Fayette. She now has six grandchildren, one great-grandchild and one step-great-grandchild, most still located nearby. For more than 40 years, Kathy was a librarian in the Howard County Public Library in Fayette, and she played the organ at the Ashland Church also for 40-plus years. She still sings in the Fayette Christian Church Choir. Kathy also has some primetime hobbies in that she crochets and scrapbooks. Today, she'll reflect on her happy memories of attending a one-room schoolhouse in rural Howard County.
School days, dear old golden rule days, reading and writing and arithmetic, taught to the tune of a hickory stick.
Hi, this is Kathy Wood Monckton, and I'm here today, and I'd love to share some priceless memories that I have in my early life. And partly about one-room schools, because that's where I started. And one-room schools are a priceless part of America. This is another part of our history that should be remembered, and a lot of people don't know what we're talking about. But those of us, I feel that we were lucky. I was very lucky to be able to attend a school. There's not hardly any left in the United States unless they're out west, where land, where the people are far apart and can't get in. Most rural schools were around in the 1700s to the mid-1900s, and Howard County had about 10 at one time. And they were used not only for schools, but they had parties for the neighborhood, and all kinds of events were held there. Voting places, voting booths, and they did everything at the schools. Union School out toward Columbia direction is one of the last buildings left, and it's not, of course, it hasn't been used for school for years, but hopefully they'll still continue to keep it up and use it because it's such a part of our history. And so they stayed in existence until transportation by bus, school bus, got to be easy and the roads got better, and that was the end of that. Some of the schools had as few as 6 students by the time they were getting finished up. And I would like to describe a little bit of a school. You walked in the door, and it had a porch, usually, or a good big front step. You walked in the door, and right inside the door was a place to wash your hands and some coat hooks, and maybe a place that you put your boots there. So it was easy to done all in one place. It was all one room, one pretty good-sized room. Most of the schools were decent-sized. And there was always electricity by the time I got in school, so we had no lighting, was no problem. Usually one teacher, usually a lady, and it was an unmarried lady. And so we washed hands in a wash basin, and we got to sit down. That the water came from a cistern out by the thing. And you know that poor teacher, unless they had a janitor hired or someone who volunteered, had to come in early in the morning, get water for the kids to drink, water for the kids to wash, get fuel in the stove if it was cold. And she had a job, and teach all these different grades and different classes. So it was just and we normally started about 9 o'clock. We had a 15-minute break in the morning, 15 minutes in the afternoon, and an hour at lunch. And it's fun. We had a ball out there. So then I started my school days in Kansas. I grew up for my first 6 years in right in the middle of Kansas in Detroit on a small farm, and I lived with my grandmother, my mother and dad, and then my younger brother who's 3 years younger. And we walked to school. We lived just about a quarter of a mile right down the road. And Kansas, if you anybody's been in Kansas, the roads are square. Everything is square. There's no curves in the roads, they're just square. And they meet at each corner. So it was easy to see. I'm sure my mom and dad watched me go down the road, but I walked with some neighbor kids, and I was the youngest one in the school. Well, at Christmas time, right after Christmas, we bought a farm in Missouri because the small farms in Kansas we just couldn't live there for the 5 of us. It just wasn't enough money for us to do it. So my grandmother moved in with a friend of hers, and so we didn't get to see her much after that, which is sad. But the 4 of us moved to Missouri. And a moving truck, Floyd Sutherland from Rocheport, came out and picked us up. We had an old pickup, so 4 of us were crammed in this pickup. We drove straight through. I'm sure we had some sandwiches or something, but we didn't stop anywhere. And we drove straight through to Missouri. We got here in the middle of the night, and the neighbors saw us, had been watching for us, and Ms. Fred and Sudie McKee, and probably some of the older people might remember them, wonderful, wonderful McKee couple. And they came up right down the road. They came up and said, oh, let's take the youngsters. We've got some warm food for them. Well, of course, I was ready to go eat. And my brother said, no, Mom, 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 Mom. No, no way. So I went down there, and my first experience with Campbell's vegetable soup in a can. I thought it was wonderful. And I liked it for quite a few years. I don't care much for it now, but it was wonderful. And it was so nice of them to do that for us. We came back to the house. Put me in a crib with my brother, which was horrible. I was very offended. But they set up the one bed. And in a few days, my dad took me down to my first country school in Missouri. And it was Drake School down toward the Rocheport, close to Rocheport, about 5 miles north of Rocheport. And it was the furthest county school of Harrod County. And the Drake School was located on top of this pretty steep little hill. And down at the bottom, where the three gravel roads met, and then we walked up the hill. And people, as the school was disbanded six years later, the south road went to Columbia School. The other road went to New Franklin School. And luckily, my brother and I and my best friend, Barbara, and her sister, Diane, got to go to Fayette School, and we were glad because they had, at that time, they had a little bit more to offer. Now it's all pretty equal. Mm-hmm. But so that was where I started school, and it was really fun. And luckily there was some girls there that I could run with. Barbara was my best friend, and she still is. And I still see her. She is quite a character. I'll tell you a little bit more about her in a minute. We had a lot of fun out in that country school because, like I said, to describe, when you walked in the door, and right in the corner was a round, was a stove, wood stove. And then it had a round wood, a metal thing around it so the kids couldn't walk up and touch it with their hands. But it created warmth all through the school. On each side of the going back, there was two big windows on each side. So there's plenty of air coming in, and because you could open those windows up pretty wide coming. Toward the back was one more window, so there was a good cross current of air. And the teacher had her desk back there. And our school was lucky to have a piano. And it was sitting back there. And then we had two bookcases back there on either side of the back window, and a lot of books that were donated to us. So I got to read really early. I was reading Zane Grey books in the second grade, and I loved reading. So a one-room school is where you learn so much because you're listening to the older students. And when I came in as a first grader, we had 3 8th graders, which was really kind of rare. And they were doing all their stuff, you know, and we would listen to them. So we really learned things really much easier, I think, because we did hear the older stuff. And it was really quite an experience. Well, you know, in the wintertime, the outhouse was really fun. We had to walk along the top of our little hill where the school was, and the girls had the furthest to go for some odd reason, and a little one-holer, and the teacher usually made us go two at a time. Then the boys had one in a different direction, and in the middle was our coal shed where they sorted the coal, and we played games there. We played Annie Over, and if anybody has ever played it, we had fun. We divided into two teams, one on one side, one on the other side, we had a ball. Annie Over, and here comes the ball over. Well, if we caught it before it hit the ground, then we could sneak around and try to tag one on the other side. And if you hit them with the ball, then they were on your team. So we had an hour to play that, and that was the biggest game. We had a nice swing set, which is kind of neat for school. We had two big chain swings and a slide. And so we had plenty of things to play with and do, and then in the wintertime, we could bring our sleds. And we had enough steep hill that we could sled downhill in, and we fell into the ditch before it hit the road. And the big boys had great fun. They fixed up a car, kind of a cardboard sled, put some rope on it, take us down to the bottom of the hill, then make a quick slide, and we'd go right off into the ditch, just off that thing. Didn't make the teacher very happy because she had dries out by the stove. But so we did have a lot of fun there. It was a lot of things to do, and the older kids played with us. So we learned to play and associate with all ages, and I think it was a wonderful opportunity. And most of our teachers were very gifted at teaching us the math and the English and the spelling. Now, one of the big things that I thought was wonderful was we had two visiting teachers. And one was the superintendent of the country schools, which is Pearl McKee, and she also was quite a musician. So she came in and played the piano, and a lot of us learned a love of music that way. And as it turns out, it paid us really well because my brother was a John Philip Sousa winner. My friend Barbara was a John Philip Sousa winner. I was right behind her, but she was great. And I was a valedictorian in the class. My brother was a valedictorian of a class of 70 kids. So I think that we really got an outstanding education. And we had programs. We celebrated the holidays. We decorated for the holidays. And the parents could come in for a Halloween party. And we had a Christmas party. We put on a little program for the parents. And the end of school, the last day of school, we had a nice program for the parents. So the parents, and then one of the best things that they did for us was about the last 2 years, they got together and bought a case of soup for us. So one of the students, the older students, and at that time I was fifth grade was older. We'd go back at noon, open up 2 3 cans of soup, warm them up, so we have a bowl of hot soup. Get your bowl there, get your spoon there. And that was really nice for country school. So we didn't have all cold lunches. So in the wintertime, we had some different lunches. So we did have a lot of fun, and we did learn. And another teacher we had was Marty Borg. And Dr. Dennis Borg, who was a dentist, and his wife, and she taught us art. And I still like to draw with pen and ink, and it's just a fun thing to do. And so like I said, this is a great thing to do for kids. The older kids, when I first got there, rode horses. So we had a little horse barn there, a two-stall horse barn that stayed there until it finally disintegrated. But no bicycles, but not on country roads. So it was either walk. And luckily, my parents picked us up because we were 2 miles from school. So I was glad I didn't have to walk 2 miles every morning and night. Well, we got off around 3:30 or 4 and got home, and it was great. So this is basically what country schools were like. They were just there where you learned a lot, I think, because you were around older kids. And then you also learned how to get along with different ages and get along with kids, because with a few kids there, you had to get along or it was miserable. So we just learned to get along. No matter what our differences are, boys, girls, didn't make any difference. We were just friends. So they came around, like I said, we were really lucky there to do that, because so many kids, even after high school, my dad was lucky in Kansas. He went to high school because he found no car to drive. Otherwise, he would not have had a high school education. So many kids didn't get the high school education because they stopped there. There was no way to get into a town school. Well, when I finished the fifth grade, Barbara and I finished the fifth grade. My brother was third grade. Sorry, guys, you have to go to town, ride the school bus. I hated riding the school bus. But we played, Barbara and I, and two friends who were in our class, two fellas, we played game after game of pitch. Every morning on the bus, every night coming home, we played pitch. And the boys always won. And we could never figure out why. When we were senior, the last day on the school bus, one of the boys showed us he knew how to stack the deck. And he'd done it for years. We didn't catch him. But it was kind of fun. You know, we didn't mind. It was just a game. And we didn't. And it was just a fun thing. So it was just really a great thing to do. And we went on to Fayette and went in the sixth grade. Mrs. Russell taught the sixth grade that year at the Old Daily School. I've still got 1 year there at the Old Daily. And she let me take other students down who have a terrible time reading, and let me take them to the basement twice a week and help them with the reading. So I was a little proud of myself. I thought it was quite a privilege. So it was just a good thing to have for us. And then we got to go on that way. We all took band. All my sons took band. We were all music. I was in choir. Barbara, like I said, Barbara won the John Philip Sousa Award, which I was real proud of. I was right behind her, but she deserved it. She was played a bassoon, was a wonderful bassoon player. And just a touch about her, she went on to the University of Missouri, graduated. She's an excellent bassoonist, and she taught there at the University of Missouri for quite a few years. Her husband is a trombonist, and he taught there and at Lincoln School. And he still plays in the Columbia Community Orchestra. Their one son is a trombonist too, and he is the head music teacher at Auburn University. So it's a music family. My brother did not go on with music, but he went on as a psychiatrist and was a psychiatrist until he retired. So music was in our life, and I won a trip to Chicago and sang in the chorus, a 250 girl chorus up there in Chicago. We sent in tapes and auditioned, and I got to do that. So that was good. So I think that the one room schoolhouse is instilled in us a fellowship, how to get along, how to play together, no matter what the age was, and we could do things. And of course, you know, if you had a good parents that really helped you, then that helped a lot too. That was important. Because we had to have both. So that was, I think, the best thing. I will mention one thing. Drake School was down, and Union School was close, within 5 miles of each other. And we were that end of the county, the southeast part of the county. In between, and right up a half a mile from our house, was Lincoln School. And Lincoln School at that time was an African-American school. And there was a church there, so they could have church. There was a double, two-story, white frame building, and there was, of course, a cemetery there. But eventually, they had problems, too, with enough kids and that. And when I was junior high school, the high school African-American students came to Fayette, and they were such star football players. So we, you know, we, and it helped him fit in real quickly. And we seemed like we, I don't remember any issues. Seemed like we got along very well. The grade school students went, I'm not sure how, but they were a little later before they come into the grade school here. I'm not sure what year. But I, by 58, they were in the school system partly. So, but it's interesting. School's gone, the church is still there, and it is interesting. And in our neighborhood, of course, I said Fred and Sunny McKee was the couple that owned the land there. But there was a lot of African-American families who lived in small houses all around. There's probably 12 different families. And if we needed any help, needed clothes washing, food fixed, anything, call on them, and they came and helped us immediately. Because my dad got along with everyone, and they liked each other, and it was wonderful to have a neighborhood that was that good. So our school district, our neighborhood, I feel very fortunate in my life to have been able to do all those things, because I think it earned me some credit, and I got things I was real proud of that I won and got to do. And I had two trips to Chicago. I was the president of District FHA, which they don't have anymore, Future Homemakers of America, because we couldn't be in FFA. The girls couldn't be there in it then. That's what I wanted to be in, because I was a farm girl, and I had horses. I loved horses. So, and we had chickens. We had 2,000 chickens every year, and we had laying hens. 10 buckets of eggs to wash, candle, grade, and put in boxes and box up. Every day. So that was the end of our vacations, because you couldn't leave that many eggs in the egg nest. So every spring we'd get 1,000 little chickens. Then we'd move the one, we had three chicken houses. The back had one, the second chicken house, they went to the back. They were the last, and they get sold the next year. So you kept 3 years, and they were, you kept selling and kept moving and kept trading. But it's something my mom and dad did, and they had about 30 sows and pigs, had a big pen for sows and pigs, and we raised that and cattle. And the crop ground was mainly just for, so it was wonderful. So it was a wonderful life, and the school, I think, helped so much in what I did. I was really fortunate. I wish a lot of kids had a chance to go to country school, even 1 year, just to see what it was like. But thank you very much.